another reason to be scared about artificial intelligence, and we explore early buyer's remorse in this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Sorry, I'm sort of getting situated. Had to move my draft board a little bit. I think we're good. Hooters is the presenting sponsor once again for the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. They have been the presenting sponsor since season two. We are in season nine. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, there are 11 locations to serve you. To find the nearest one, and for easy online ordering, go to originalhooters.com. And I remind you that at all these 11 locations in the greater Tampa Bay area, you can enjoy either a Bud or a Bud Light draft, a Mick Ultra draft, or a neutral canned beverage for just under $5. Remember their special sauce for the summer, mango habanero, on any of your wing varieties or their new hand-breaded tenders. Hooters, they pay for the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, so you don't have to. Email write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Recording this on Tuesday early afternoon, so all the results are in, as many of you have rushed to waiver wires for either Isaiah Likely, a new quarterback in place of Jordan Love for a while, or going for that Jordan Mason quick hit with the surprise inactive of Run CMC on Monday night. The first thing I want to talk about, though, we covered waivers on the previous Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, recorded prior to Jets Niner, so I did want to mention the Jordan Mason note. Those of you that play, I know, in Yahoo leagues, I don't know how this is handled for leagues with other providers. Once your draft data is in, do you get this review from the website saying how good you did or how bad you did? And I always find this amusing because to me, this is who won the press conference, not who's going to win the league. And often the results don't match up. So I wanted to make a point this year, especially, and I'm just going to use the coalition as one example, our 12-team league, with the Yahoo draft evaluation before any games were played on who was going to be best in the league. I'll leave some names out, but the top three drafts, according to Yahoo, we'll just call it artificial intelligence this year in the coalition, compared to the bottom three, which I was in. Yahoo's draft evaluation said I had a terrible draft, gave it, I believe, a D grade. And there were two even below mine. So the bottom three, according to Yahoo's AI on the draft, in what that would mean for how we would do this year. I won week one and had the third highest point total. The draft evaluated just worse than mine, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you who this was because he'll love that I have his back. Ira Kaufman of JoeBucksFan.com, in the Candy Cane Coalition, he is known as Grand Pop Rocks. He won and had the highest point total of anyone in the coalition for the week. And the worst draft was a team that did lose, but had the highest point total of any team that lost. So they lost relative to the matchup and were in a great position to win until the final couple of primetime games. So no embarrassment there. And as we make the transition to tell you who Yahoo's AI said were the best based on the draft, the team they said was the worst scored more than the team they said was the best. Yes, the team they said was the best did lose week one and actually has the lowest point total through 1 week. And no, that's not due to McCaffrey. The team that drafted second that took McCaffrey did lose. And I think fair to say they didn't lose because of that. They lost. The team that Yahoo's AI said had the third best draft did win, but was outscored by the team with the worst draft. So, for those of you that put a lot into those draft grades, there's a reason why I never have. I've gotten good draft grades, and obviously I just got a bad draft grade. And to sum this all up, we as fantasy players have been dealing with this form of artificial intelligence for many years, and we know to dismiss it because of how bad it is, because of how meaningless it is. And Yahoo's draft evaluation of our coalition and the results of week one prove that yet again. So let's play some buyer's remorse. I talked about in the waiver intensive podcast we did before this episode and in previous episodes how it's difficult to maintain your bench from week to week, your draft board, because you get excited about someone on the waiver wire, and you've just got to be careful. You got to be careful dumping a player too quickly that you chose for a reason and could pay off for you down the road. Now, at the same time, you are trying to justify your roster spot. A roster spot does have value. But if you drafted a player and smartly drafted a player, that player clearly had value for you and probably beyond just a week or two. I love waivers. Ira, speaking of Ira Kaufman, praises me and talks about how much my teams benefit from how I use waivers as the season goes on. And I think early season is significant because we go from having a blank slate to suddenly we have all these tangible numbers. And there may be something new there in the first week or first 2 weeks that is just really significant and going to be meaningful for the entire season. It's not always the case. Just one more reference to my Jimmy McGinty trophy winning team from last year. A significant part of it was my drafting in the first six rounds. But another significant part of that were four waiver claims at various times in the season. Two quarterbacks late, Stafford, Love. Brandon Aubrey as a new kicker claimed week two into week three, dumping Daniel Carlson. And Kyron Williams, like in this spot or week two a year ago, then once he got hurt, I let him go because he was going to be out for a while. Then I reclaimed him more than a week before he was expected to play, hoping no one else would sniff it in my league, and no one did. And this is a good league. Again, the foundation, steady membership, 10-team league. We've had seven different champions in 9 years. So factoring a little bit of that in and also talking about buyer's remorse, because I have some, I'll admit it. I did win week one in both of my leagues. I'm very fortunate. But I have some buyer's remorse about what I did using the throwback theory based on what had happened in the draft before me and just how ADPs were presented. End of round one, choosing end of round one, start of round two. I went running back, and I had my choice of every running back except McCaffrey, Hall, and Robinson. Those three were gone. So I took Derrick Henry, and I took Jonathan Taylor. And by doing so, I passed on Barkley, and I passed on Pacheco. And week one, despite being a winner in my league, I have a little buyer's remorse. Now, there's nothing I can do about it at this point. I still understand what I did by taking Henry and Taylor, but it's just a little buyer's remorse because Pacheco and Barkley were better in week one. They were a best case scenario. They were fun to watch. They were on winning teams. Granted, they were primetime games. Henry was primetime game too. But I have to factor in that we didn't see Henry or Taylor in a positive game script at their best. The Colts never win week one. Were the Ravens really going to beat Kansas City in the AFC title game rematch on a Thursday night a year after the Chiefs had not performed well in that spot to open the season after winning a Super Bowl? But I do have some buyer's remorse on Barkley. I talked to Tampa Bay meteorologist, chief meteorologist of ABC Action News, Dennis Phillips, face-to-face over the weekend. And Dennis has played in my leagues a number of times when his work schedule allows for him to attend our drafts. I don't know a bigger fan of Saquon Barkley than ABC Action News, Tampa Bay meteorologist, Dennis Phillips. Dennis told me face-to-face when I saw him on Saturday that he didn't draft Barkley in any of his six leagues. Just a stunner. And also to show you how Dennis is not a homer. Homers win baseball games, not fantasy football titles. Dennis had as much reluctance on Barkley based on Barkley's new team, the presence of a running quarterback, the lack of goal-to-go carries, especially on the one or the two, and so many other offensive weapons in Philly. We did a whole podcast. I think we called it the Saquandary. How Barkley was in a better offense now that he was out of New York and joined the Eagles, but would being in a better offense mean less volume? Well, at least in the first game against the Packers, Barkley scored three times, looked dynamic. It's not sustainable, but it gives Dennis Phillips and me and those who passed on Barkley because we were just concerned. It wasn't a concern on Saquon. It was concern on how many goal-to-go rushes is he going to get, and is Jalen Hurts actually going to throw to him? Those were our concerns. Through 1 week, those of us who were concerned shouldn't have been. There will be games where we can point to it and say, oh, they didn't do this. And Barkley didn't have as big of a performance. But I do have some buyer's remorse. We'll see if that goes away after week two, week three, or it's something I will regret as the season goes on, that I took Henry and Taylor over Barkley and, to a lesser extent, Isaiah Pacheco. Do many of you have buyer's remorse on Cooper Kupp already? You know, I have been very fortunate the previous 2 years to fully invest in wide receivers in multiple leagues I won't call it a ride or die like Matthew Berry does. That's Matthew's thing. But I talked about it even going into my drafts and all of our pre-draft fantasy podcasts. Can I, in 2022, despite the trade from Kansas City, I went heavy on Tyreek Hill in all my leagues. And it was the right move. Knowing I wasn't going to get the same price in drafts or value on Tyreek Hill, I couldn't do that in 2023. So who was that guy going to be? So I identified Brandon Ayuk as the one I wanted in all my leagues, who I felt was very good value and would deliver for me, and did. Ayuk's status, different than Hill's. People weren't rushing to draft Ayuk. I wasn't either. By the time we drafted, we knew he got signed. But it was a little different than Tyreek after the fact. So it was this year, it was like, okay, who do I, what's the wide receiver that I want that others don't, that I feel will perform at a very consistent high level for me? And I identified that as Cooper Kupp. And I did get him in both of my leagues, and no wide receiver, no pass catcher, was more of a part of the week one offensive game plan than Kupp for the Rams. Welcome back to 2021 and 2022. So as I have buyer's remorse that I passed on Barkley, I would imagine many in my leagues, or some of you who didn't take him, may have buyer's remorse on Cooper Kupp, who I got with the 30th overall pick, end of round three, as my wide receiver one, as one example in the Foundation League. So there's an example of me having buyer's remorse, but and then an example of you or others having buyer's remorse. If you're fortunate that you had Barkley and Kupp, good on you. And you probably won in week one. So there's a little bit of both there. And back to the cutting someone that you know you drafted for a reason. I already did it once. I did it before week one ended, when I cut my handcuff running back in Buffalo and Ray Davis to pick up a backup quarterback in Justin Fields. I've already talked about that in the previous podcast. I'm fighting the urge to do something similar and create a roster spot by cutting my last non-kicker. Ray Davis was the last non-kicker I selected in one league. Blake Corum was the last non-kicker I selected in another league. Corum was zero factor in the Rams-Lions game. And I'm fighting the inclination to cut Corum and pick up another player who may have more value now. And I'm trying to talk myself out of it, because I didn't pick up Corum to play week one. I picked up Corum to play down the road. Can I sustain and justify his roster spot for when he is in that RB1 role, when something happens to Kyren Williams, and he is fed the same workload that McVay running backs get when they get on the field as the RB1. I'm fighting it. We'll see how that goes. But I'm sure you're in a similar situation. I also had, you know, watching the Packers and the Eagles, I hated that I had Jaden Reed on my bench, but I was also like, wow, I have Jaden Reed on my bench for next week. I can play him next week if I want. And I was considering doing that. And then Love goes down, and now I probably won't. until Love comes back or I see how LaFleur gets Reed the ball without Jordan Love in there for hopefully just a few weeks. And we say that from a fantasy standpoint and also just from a pure health standpoint and watching good football. All right, send me your questions about how you or your comments about how you did week one. Various different things. If you have buyer's remorse on anyone, or if you want to, you know, say, hey, I was with you on Cooper Kupp, I made the investment, or someone else that you felt was undervalued that you went out and drafted and has already showed you that you made the right move. I love hearing both, right? Just like I'm giving you both. I wish I had Barkley, but I'm glad I got Kupp. Wright.Todd@yahoo.com, Wright.Todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks for listening.